and we have Reverend Tom Zaradnik here, and he currently is the associate chaplain at the Rescue Mission, where if you're familiar with this church, we trust the Rescue Mission as part of our Kingdom Builders initiative to see kingdom advancement and gospel transformation in our local community specific to homelessness. And we love the Rescue Mission. When it comes to, again, gospel transformation in neighborhoods, they're a trusted partner in that initiative. And so Pastor Tom, he has over a decade of local church leadership, lead pastor experience. He did the most difficult thing in lead pastoring, which is he successfully handed his church off to a new lead pastor, and knowing that God was calling him to do something else. And so that church is a testament to his legacy. That church is thriving, reaching people and reaching its community. And he also, you getting uncomfortable yet? I'm going to keep talking about you, all right? Yeah, he's like, no, go, keep going, yeah. Okay. He also kind of oversees the chaplaincy community statewide for our network of churches, around 350 churches that we're in our network with, and he oversees those chaplains. And so, again, as we talk about kind of big tragedies and stuff like that, you and I know that every single day people have stuff going on in their lives, and chaplains meet that need, and there are gospel presence in those places, and Pastor Tom has the opportunity to lead those people and train them and equip them. So lots of great experience, and we are just grateful that you're here, and you can give him a round of applause. I'm done talking. All right, so there you go, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It is wonderful to be here. It is really an honor to be here. Pastor Dan is someone that I worked with on our state presbytery, which is sort of the governing body for the New York Ministry Network. And to be honest with you all, I mean, he's not here, so I can say this. I didn't get him at first. It took me a little time. But after I got him really well. And I have such respect that when he asked me to preach, it was the last thing I was expecting. And I was really kind of intimidated because I have such respect for your pastor and for the way he preaches and the way he and his team presents the scriptures and the message. I'm just entering into a journey of my master's of divinity, yeah, at my age. I have to watch some other ministers on a weekly basis, and this is one church that I watch. So I really appreciate Pastor Dan and this church. So thank you this morning. I want to share something that happened a couple of weeks ago. I was leaving Wegmans down in Western Lights, and I was in my car, and I was about to make a left-hand turn, and I noticed a young man who had a grocery cart, and he had what looked like all of his earthly belongings in garbage bags. He had no shoes on. He had no shirt on. His pants were probably down to about here on him. He had a dog on a leash. He seemed pretty happy, and he was kind of moving about, crossing the street, and I noticed that one of the sneakers that was in the cart fell out onto the road. And as he got all the way across the street, the other sneaker that was in the cart fell on the road. So I pulled my car over, put on the hazard lights, quickly jogged across the road, picked up the sneakers, and said, "Hey, bro, yo, you lost your sneakers." And he turned around, a big smile on his face. Now, I don't know if this brother of mine was suffering from mental illness or drugs. You know, when you're in the Rescue Mission, you encounter all sorts of folks. And he said, "Thank you so much." And he asked me, he said, "Bro, by the way, you got a cigarette on you?" I said, I'm all out right now. And he said, "Oh, but thank you." And here was the thing that got me. He raised his hands up and he said, "Hey, but God bless you anyway." And man, I just received that. Now, something you got to know about me, 43 years ago, I was in a psychiatric hospital. I tried to take my life. And in that psychiatric hospital, I had a profound encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go into the detail of it, but I met Jesus in that psychiatric hospital by my bed. And I was a pack and a half a day smoker. And after I prayed and divinely met Jesus, I got up and I wanted to do something. There was something in me that said, serve, help somebody. So I opened the door, and the unit that I was in was kind of in chaos because of some things that were going on. And there was a young man and a young lady sitting on a bench across from my room, and they were crying. And I'm thinking, what could I do? What could I do? What could I do? I know. I've got cigarettes. Now don't judge me. I'm just 2 minutes in Jesus, okay? All right. So I go in my closet and I pull out these cigarettes and I sit down next to them and I give them cigarettes. I go, here, you can have my cigarettes and God bless you, you know, and I'm just sitting there, you know, just. So cigarettes was my first ministry in the Lord. So I say all that to say what I did to that young man 2 weeks ago, stopping and helping him, because I knew that what he had in that grocery cart was probably all of his earthly belongings. It wasn't because I was a chaplain, not because I was a great guy, but because my life had been changed. I am called to serve others as a way of life. And uncovering the false self is so that we can discover the true self of our union with Jesus Christ. And that's what this series is about, discovering our true self. But really, we have to uncover that false self so that we can move into our true self. And I want to talk about the big idea today is really something that a number of you that have been going to North Central may be familiar with. It's, let me bring it up here. There it is. Okay. It's part of the gospel identity that is found here at North Central. We are servants of God who serve others as a way of life. Serving is not something I do. Serving is a way that I live. We take Jesus, the fully God, fully human being, and he took the posture of a servant and he gave his life even unto death so that others could experience salvation. And he took this posture and he said, I am among you as one who serves. And all those who follow Jesus are called to serve in the same humility. That's the one realization I came to this past week with all the pain and all the difficulty and all the struggle is I immediately thought, how can I serve others this week who are experiencing pain and loss as I am feeling it and I am experiencing it? You know, some people may ask, what is a chaplain? It's actually very simple. A chaplain is someone who serves in a non-religious organization or institution. So a chaplain is someone who serves in a prison or in a homeless shelter or in a police station or could serve in a business, but anywhere that is a non-religious setting, that's a chaplain. So any place you can think of, that can be a chaplain. You honestly could be a chaplain where you're serving. I've had a lot of privilege in my life. I've been the CEO of a Christian radio network. I met a U.S. president. I've been a pastor. I've been a presbyter overseeing churches and overseeing pastors. But my greatest call is to serve. Why? I want to be like Jesus. And I believe you do too. I want to be like Jesus. And that is when our true self emerges. We are called to serve because Jesus served. I want to focus in because I think the best place for us to find and discover this identity is in the scripture, and particularly in the gospel. And the best place is to focus on the example that Jesus gives us. And one of the best examples that he gives us is found in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has, he's had his final meal with his disciples. He knows what lays ahead for him. He knows that he's going to be giving his life away. And so he does something very, very unusual. I'd like you to think of someone that you admire most in the world that you probably would never, ever meet. Someone who's really on a pedestal. You know, these guys have been hanging around Jesus for 3.5 years, but there is that sort of, you know, he's our teacher, and I know he said he calls us friend, but at the same time, there, you know, he is still Lord, and we're trying to get our heads wrapped around who he is, but he's still, you know, he's Jesus. And Jesus takes off his outer garment and he wraps it around his waist and he comes and he gets a bowl of water. And it says here, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that the hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth And now he loved them to the very end. It was time for the supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would soon return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had wrapped around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." And Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe and again sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" Now, the thing you have to understand is the act that Jesus was doing was the act that a servant would do to those in the household, the washing of feet. The lowest in the household would wash the feet. And that's what Jesus was doing. You call me teacher and Lord. That's the highest act of regard and respect. And you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet, and I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So Jesus sets an example for you and me. So when you and I, it's not a matter of this is what I don't want you doing. I don't want you getting all worked up when things, I want you to relax and chill out and be kind to people. No, Jesus wants us to proactively be caring and loving other people. You know, at the rescue mission, it's kind of interesting because we have all sorts of folks that come to the rescue mission. For every person that's homeless is a unique story behind that person. But some people look at homelessness in a stereotyped way. Oh, they're all this particular culture, or they're all from this particular background. And quite honestly, in my 2.5 years at the rescue mission, I can tell you that's not the case. But I will tell you, sometimes people could get very frustrated working with this demographic of people. Some people have mental illness. Some people come from a family where yelling is the way they dealt with things. And so you may come on the property and you may see a group of people that are yelling and screaming. We do a coffee house once a week on Wednesday at 1 o'clock in our chapel. We call it the No Bucks Cafe because nobody has to pay to come in. I thought it was kind of a cute idea. And we had a guy come in, and again, I don't know if it was an issue of him being high or being or mental illness, but he was being very loud. And we do have some rules in the chapel. We have jazz music playing, and we serve coffee and some sweet treats. And he was being loud in his conversation. I said, "Hey, bro, can you just keep your volume down?" He goes, "What are you talking about, man?" I said, "Well, I just need you to keep your volume down a little, you know." And I kind of hold my hands open like this rather than like this, you know, and just try to de-escalate a little. He goes, "You're being disrespectful to me." And I said, "Well, I'm not trying to be. I just, you know, just ask you to keep it down." So he kind of turned his back towards me and just stood there for a while. And I just, you know, stepped back and just let it be. But I can't get offended. I don't have the luxury of getting offended. I always have to go back to Jesus when he said he set the example. It's always about washing feet. There was one time at the rescue mission I actually did a foot washing, and I'm not sure I might do that again. Because some of our clients don't change their socks on a regular basis. I had to sort of peel away some socks on one of our clients. But you know what? I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to do it because it's out of love. See, when Jesus knelt down, he knew his identity. He knew who he was. He knew his authority. He knew who he belonged to. He knew that he came from the Father and that he was going back to the Father. He had security in knowing who he was, his true identity. You and I can know the same when we know who we are in Christ. And therefore, when we serve, we're not being taken advantage of. Jesus always took the posture of a servant. We, in turn, can take the posture of a servant. These are just some of the observations that I take from this gospel account. And he calls each one of us as disciples, as devoted followers of him, to do the same. To do the same. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about our relationship to one another. Because you know what? Here at North Central, we get to practice so that we can live it out there. And he says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. See, if there's somebody here you don't like, there's guaranteed going to be somebody out there you're not going to like. So you need to work it out here. And when you work it out here, you're going to learn how to work it out there. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. I mean, Jesus being all God and all man. Can you imagine being all God and then being squished into a human casing? Denying all of that, became a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, this false self demands to be seen. I want my rights. I demand my rights. But you know, I've been in traffic. I drive the Syracuse roads. I see all the construction. I've had people pull out on me. I drive 690 from Baldwinsville into the city daily, and I'm from near the city originally, and my false self wants to rise up now and again when I see people weaving in and out. I mean, I drive 70, but I see people passing me at like 85. 90. You see, we see in the scripture how the false self wants to be seen through the religious leaders. See, these religious leaders, they wore something called phylacteries. These were these little square boxes that they wore on their heads, and inside were little scrolls of scripture, and they were tied around their heads. You know, and they walked around to show how spiritual they were. They wanted to be seen. When people would go to the temple to give their offerings and their money, they actually had these cones. And when people put the money in, it made a lot of noise. But the reason they made cones is so people couldn't reach in and take the money out. People that wanted to be seen. But Jesus shows that our truest identity is servant-hearted. Is servant-hearted. You know, I'll tell you something. Deep down, I wanted to serve the Lord. But I did everything I could to resist fully letting go into the call of God on my life, including going into the army. Yep. I drove cabs. I mean, I did everything. And finally, I decided I'm going to go into the army. I'm going to be a broadcast journalist in the army. So I talked to my elders, you know, I got wise counsel, you know, and I'm 30 years old now. I'm almost past the age of where you can't go into the army anymore. So my wife and I, we agree. So I take the train from the Hudson Valley from Poughkeepsie to Albany. I had taken the ASVAB test and went up. I passed the physical. I mean, you know, that to me was a miracle. So I'm up there and I'm waiting. And I was going through this special program because I had to tape record my voice, and they had to evaluate it to see if I could go into communications, and you know, and I'm waiting now for them to place me into a communication position. And as the day is going on, more and more people are getting sworn in, and less people are in the waiting area. And you can kind of see the shadow of the sun, you know, passing by. And higher officers are speaking to me, you know. And finally, well, they weren't officers. They were, you know, like sergeants and master sergeants and super-duper sergeants. And, you know, and finally, like, the biggest sergeant in the world came out and said, "Tom, we got to call the Department of the Army because we're trying to get you a job and find a position for you." And one thing my wife and I prayed, we prayed if this was going to be God, that it would happen quickly. And I want to tell you something. The thing that I wanted most was God's will. The thing I wanted most was to serve God. And when he told me it was going to be 9 months, I knew this was not what God had for me. And I called my wife on the phone. I said, "You know, Kathleen, I don't think this is happening." And she knew as well. I got on the train. I put on my Sony Walkman. You all remember Sony Walkman? Remember cassette tapes? Okay. And there was an artist that I loved by the name of Steve Camp. And Steve Camp wrote a song called "Whatever You Ask." And that sort of became the anthem of my life. And the song simply went like this. "Lord, whatever you ask, I want to obey you. Let my life be with a servant's heart. Lord, whatever you ask, I know that you will give me wisdom and courage to equal the task. Lord, whatever you ask." And isn't that what it's about? Isn't it about whatever God asks? That when you know you're in the Father's will, you can serve without fear, because serving is who we are. It's the way we're called to live. It's not something that we do on a Sunday. You know, I mean, for me, I'm uncomfortable if I'm not doing something to give into my church body. Like, I work every Sunday. I'm at the rescue mission every Sunday. So what I do is I do the voiceover for our video announcements at our church. I voice those for the church. And I also edit and put together the podcast for the church, because that's kind of in my wheelhouse. So I feel like at least I'm doing something for the church, because I want to be serving. I can't just sit at the church. I want to be connected. I invite you to embrace this as part of your true self, as part of your true self. What brought, you know, a question I wanted to put out there for you all is what brought Kathleen and I to Syracuse? You know, and when we started hearing that call to Syracuse, it kind of came as a thought. And it was something that we both heard separately from God. And I first said, "God, didn't you mean Hawaii? Hawaii, beach ministry." And no, God was clearly saying he wanted us to go to Syracuse. And so we sought counsel. We actually even talked to our state superintendent. At the time, it was Dwayne Durst, just to talk to him, and we prayed, and it meant leaving a church that was doing very, very well. It meant taking a couple of years in transitioning that church that Yon mentioned into, make sure it had healthy leadership when we left. And it meant knowing what were we going to? Why were we moving? And I knew God was calling me into full-time chaplaincy, but I didn't know to what. But I knew it was to serve. So we were up here in Syracuse looking for housing, and the thing we didn't know was in order to get a job, you had to show or in order to get a house or rent an apartment, you had to show current employment. Oh, current employment. So I needed to get a job. So we were just praying, and we were at the Red Roof over on Carrier Circle, and I was sitting in bed, and all of a sudden Indeed.com popped up, Associate Chaplain, Rescue Mission. No. Surely, Lord, you have something better than this. But you know, within 10 seconds, I knew this was where God wanted me. Because it was not about me and what I wanted for my life. It was about serving. Because we are all called to serve strangers, because that is serving Jesus. That is serving Jesus. And I knew I had to go through the whole process. I had to go through interviews, but there was peace in the interviews. There wasn't a cockiness. There was like, okay, you know, and I was interviewed. It's interesting. My boss told me later on after the interview, when I walked into the room and sat down, he knew immediately without even asking me a question that I was the person that he was going to hire. So God had it all worked out. But you have to understand, I didn't know what I was going to be facing as associate chaplain at the rescue mission, because true self stoops to love. Your true self has to stoop to love. There are things that I was going to be have to be willing to do at the rescue mission that I hadn't done before. I'll give you an example. We had there was one day that we had a violent act break out at the rescue mission. One of our clients got stoned, and there was blood all over the front of one of our buildings. And our CEO and our chief strategic officer came out, was mopping with bleach and stuff, but it was our meal time. And so clients were kind of coming around, and I came out and I asked them, what can I do? I said, could you direct the clients to go around to the back to the kitchen and we'll serve them back there? I said, sure. So I just stood out there, and I was directing clients to go around to the back. And our CEO said, so, do you still want to stay and work here? I said, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. There's times where I would be mopping in the chapel. And then there would be the moaning and mopping, and the complaining and mopping. Is this what you call ministry, Lord? Where's the fun preaching part, Lord? Well, it's for him to choose what he wants me to do. See, the true self is about others. As M. Robert Mulholland Jr. said, the true self is for others. It bears the image of the one who gave himself away. And I think that's what you and I want to do. We want to bear the image of the one who gave himself away, so that maybe by some chance someone comes up to us and says, there's something different about you. What is that? Oh, well, let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about it. That's taking on the true self. The true self. You know, they're serving coffee. I mean, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, or every Wednesday at noon, I go in and I make coffee, and at 1 o'clock I serve coffee. And every man that comes in, if I don't know their name, no matter what their age is, they are sir. And every woman that comes in, and I don't know their name, and no matter their age, they are ma'am. And that may be the only time they are referred to with a sense of dignity and a sense of respect. But I want to tell you, they bear the image of God. And if they bear God's image, and they're good enough for God, they're good enough for me. And I will serve them, and I will love them. Stacking chairs. Stacking chairs. Listening. You know, I've gone back to James a lot. James is a very practical book in the Bible. I really encourage you. But there's that one verse about be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. We have two ears and one mouth. We do the math. Why do we have two ears and one mouth? Because we should listen more than we talk, right? And I don't know, I guess maybe it's with age, but I've learned to listen more and talk less. I don't know if I got that from Hamilton or the Bible, but going to see it Wednesday, by the way. But It's so true. And as a chaplain, it's one thing we learn is to be present and to listen. Just listen and ask questions. Jesus typically responded to a question with a question. We don't have to be the answer person. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Listen. People will feel so respected that you listen to them. I've had people come into our chapel, and I so appreciated what Pastor Yon said about, you know, we don't have to have all the answers to what's going on in our world. God has the answers. We just need to be available to people and saying, I'm with you, I'm here, I'm present. I've had some people broken come into our chapel, just sit, and I will just sit, and I said, and I will just say, thank you, I just want you to know I'm with you in this moment. And I'm here with you in this moment. 20 minutes later, they get up and they go, thank you so much. I didn't do a thing. I just listened. But that's serving them. That's serving them. Timothy Keller said, greatness in the kingdom is not upward mobility. It is downward humility. Downward humility. The exercise of humility is something that we need to use in greater-ness, I guess is the best way to put it. And that's where I've learned the lessons about mopping the floor. You know, when I've been mopping and moaning, and the Lord has gently said to me, I'm just teaching you more humility, Tom. I'm teaching you more humility. Well, Lord, I'm 63. I've been a lead pastor. You know, and you haven't gotten the humility thing down yet. I just need you to learn it some more. And I'm like, okay, I got it. And you know, when I say okay, and I submit to that gracious voice of the Holy Spirit, the peace and the joy come. And that's what God is after. If you find that anxiety and that tug of war going on inside, I just encourage you to surrender, because the true self is so wanting to come out, so wanting to come out. You know, there's this story in the Bible where Jesus talks about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And he talks about this group of people like, you know, when you fed me and you took care of me, and they say, when did we ever do that to you, Lord? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And you know, that's what we are called to do. I always remember when someone comes along and I don't know who they are, and Jesus said, you know, you could be actually entertaining angels. I remember the day we got married, 38 years ago, was a blizzard. We got married January 10th in the Hudson Valley, and it was a snowy morning, and my brother was driving, and a car pulled out, and we skidded and went right up on one of those milk cans, and the rear wheels are spinning, and we're stuck, and we're all in tuxedos. So what are we going to do? So along comes, it looks like a guy, a lumberjack. He kind of looks like Pastor Yeoman, kind of, you know, the beard, but he was all in lumberjack gear, and he had this 4x4 big red truck. He goes, hi guys, can I help you? Yeah, you wouldn't happen to have a tow bar. Yeah, happen to have a tow bar. Want me to help you get off that milk can? Yeah. I guarantee you that was an angel. I guarantee you. And you just never know the person that comes along or the person that needs help. Who knows who we are ministering to? We put ministry in such big letters, but you just don't know that person that you were reaching out to. So what now? What now? I want to invite you to do a couple of things this coming week. The first thing is to serve someone this week with no applause, no credit, no reward. Now, something that doesn't count. If you're driving along and you see someone with a cardboard sign that says, please, help me, give me money, I encourage you not to. A number of those people, and this is from my experience, are panhandlers. That's actually their job. That's what they do. Some are raising money for drugs. but a number of them are actually just raising money, okay? What I've done when I've seen a panhandler on the road is I invite them out to eat, because if they're really in need of food or hungry, they're willing to take me up on that offer. But what I say is actually serve them. Give them yourself. Don't give them your stuff. Give them yourself. Serve someone this week with no applause, no credit, no reward. For instance, I have a neighbor. For namesake, his real name is not Bob, but let's call him Bob. Bob has a pretty significant drinking problem. And, my wife and I knew that this was a divine connection, divine relationship. And Bob went through a pretty significant binge. And he came out of it just about 3 or 4 days ago. And I saw him in his yard, and I said, hey, Bob. So he came over, and we were talking. I said, how you doing? He said, oh, pretty good. He said, I was not doing really well. I said, oh, I'm sorry, how are you doing now? He goes, oh, I'm doing better. And, and he was actually, began confessing, just really talking about what he was doing and the wrong that he was doing. And I really expressed to him how much I appreciated his willingness to confide in me and to share with me that. I didn't feel the need to lead him along the Roman road or anything like that, but just expressed the fact that he was willing to share a confidence with me. That's the kind of relationship that Bob and I have developed. He knows that we're there for he and for his girlfriend. I make a point to visit him. If he's sitting out on his porch, or there are times I'll buy him coffee, I'll just knock on the door and say, hey, Bob, just wanted to stop over and check in on you and see how you're doing. It's that kind of a thing. Serve someone this week with no applause, no credit, no reward. The other thing is reflect. Reflect on this. Is your identity secure enough to kneel? What I mean by that is Jesus was secure enough in his authority that he could kneel and he could wash someone else's feet. Maybe even in your own home. Not a big dishwasher's liker person, but I do those dishes. I get in there and wash those dishes. Maybe there's something, guys, you can help your wife with. Maybe there's something you can do in your home to help out. Maybe there's something you can do to demonstrate humility. Maybe there's something in the office. Maybe an apology, just an I'm sorry. If there's anyone that should be good at apologizing and making something right, it should be the followers of Jesus. So I invite you to do that. True freedom is not found in finding ourselves, but in giving ourselves away. I just close with this. A mirror reflects our image, but a window lets others see the light. And cars nowadays have darkened windows, so maybe you need to let your windows down and let others in. Kind of lighten up, lighten up the windows. The true self stops being a mirror and starts being a window. So I invite you to walk this journey. Continue to allow God through this process of letting the true self come out. And I just thank you for your attentiveness and the opportunity to be here this morning. I'd like to finish by praying over you, praying a blessing as we continue. I've been challenged as I've been preparing for this morning, and also just encouraged to continue on this journey where I'm at. So thank you for that opportunity. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the men and women here this morning. I thank you, God, for their attentiveness to what you've been speaking this morning. I thank you for the calling that you have over this community. This community that is called to make serving a way of life, not just activity, but a way of giving their lives away in the simple, meaningful ways. And I ask you in this coming week that you would speak to each one to show them how. and show them, God, in ways that perhaps they may have resisted. Or show them ways that perhaps the false self has been given way to. But Lord, I thank you that deep in the heart of this people is a desire for Christ to be alive, for Christ to be true, for Christ to go before them and behind them, and to walk on all sides, to be glorified in them and through them. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.